Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And let's pray. Father, please, we come to you tonight, and I ask that, Lord, you would use the truth, please. Lord, I know how you've helped me. And Lord, such a basic in the Christian life, and yet, Father, without it we go nowhere. So I pray, Father, please, please help us tonight, open our eyes, drive the truth deep in our heart, and recall it to our minds so we can live what you saved us to do, and do what you created us to do. We love you and we need you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In this day and age that is filled with wickedness, you'll only make it if you obey verse number 18. God says, if we read it, that's our text verse tonight, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, every time the word filled is used in the New Testament, as far as in reference to they were filled with the fullness of God, or they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the word filled always means influence, control, and guidance. So when God says, be filled with the Spirit, God is commanding us to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. He's commanding us to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. God is commanding us in verse 18 to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If you aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be a castaway. You won't last very long in the Christian life. If you've been in church long enough, you've seen people come and go. And they start right, and they start excited, and then they're not there anymore. And that isn't true with everybody, but you do see people come and go. Why is that? I believe the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or the influence of the Holy Spirit, or the control of the Holy Spirit, or the guidance of the Holy Spirit is basic, it's essential, and it's a command. Now, I don't have to get loud tonight. The truth will carry itself. But being filled, being influenced, being guided, being controlled by the Holy Spirit is a command of God. It's not an option. Now, I'm going to take it further and listen closely. If you aren't filled with the Spirit of God, if you aren't influenced by the Spirit of God, if you are not controlled by the Spirit of God, you're out of God's will. That's a pretty heavy truth. That's a pretty heavy truth. Here we go. That's going to lead me to my next statement. If you are not in God's will, then you're sinning against God. Then you're sinning against God. Would you take your Bible and we're going to come back to Ephesians. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. They call this the victory chapter. The victory chapter in the Bible is where you learn Romans chapter 6. You got two natures inside of you. A fleshly nature and a spirit filled nature. You've got what you used to be, and you've got what God gave you at salvation. Then in chapter 7, you start learning in the struggle of Romans chapter 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing in this battle in Romans 7. Then when you hit Romans 8, it's the secret to winning the fight. And so they call Romans 8 the victory chapter. Are you ready? Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Ready? Watch this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, to those that are saved, but watch this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means you can be saved and be miserable. You can be saved and be miserable. If you're a Christian that is not yielded to the Holy Spirit, but you walk in the flesh, spell flesh backwards, F-L-E-S-H. Flip it around and drop the H, and you have S-E-L-F, self. Right? So how can I tell when I'm living in the flesh? What is the difference? Well, one, Galatians 5 would help you. The fruit of the works of the flesh are these, and the fruit of the Spirit is this. However, anytime you get selfish, you can lay it on the line. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Proverbs. Right? So here, Romans chapter 1 says, there is no condemnation or no fear of hell to those that are saved, but not just to those that are saved, not to those that walk after the flesh, but to those that are in the Spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 2. This is such a wonderful but basic teaching here. Watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. One thing the Holy Spirit starts to teach you is this. The law is what sets me free. When Jesus saved me because I couldn't do anything to earn it, He then teaches me, if you will abide by my rules, my fence, my boundaries, the law of Christ Jesus hath made me free. You know how I'm free tonight? Because when you put God's standards in your life, and let's put one standard up. I don't do drugs. Let's put another standard up. I don't drink liquor. Let's put another standard up. I don't have sex outside of marriage. Let's put another standard up. All the standards, the law, what God says do not do and what God says do, when you put them up, you get freedom. I'm not living in bondage. I'm not wondering what somebody finds out that I did last night. I'm not scared. I'm not walking around, don't ask me if I had a good week, but don't ask me what I did last night. I'm not scared of you finding out where I went last night. I'm free. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from shame. The law has made me free. The law does not give me bondage. The Spirit of God tells me, adopt my rules, my standards, God's standards, and you get to be free. You get to be free. Here we go. Look at verse number 3. Watch this. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now, you notice he's going back and forth here. God's teaching us from the flesh to the Spirit to the flesh. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after, there it is again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, the last three verses here that I'm going to read are very strong, but I wish you'd think about them. For to be carnally minded is death. Stop. Was the Bible written to saved people or lost people? It's written to save people. So God is telling a Christian in verse 6, to be carnally minded means death in your life. When you get, where do we get the word carnal? Come from the word carnia, or chili con carne, or a meat soup. It's dealing with the flesh. Those that are fleshly minded, They have their minds on themselves. They're not interested in being filled with the Spirit. God says that is a deadly mindset. In other words, it will kill you spiritually. Praise God, you can't lose your salvation. Aren't you glad? Amen? However, whatever it touches, it dies. To be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity or at war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, nobody in here is naturally a good Christian. If you do what comes naturally, you sin. But if you're a good Christian, if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, it's because you did it on purpose. Naturally, I'm selfish. Naturally, I'm a jerk. Naturally, all I think about is me. But if I'm interested in being spiritually minded, then I want to think into other people. I don't want to dwell on self. You know, if I look at garbage long enough, I'll get depressed. Right? All me and my problems and all of my, if I'm not careful. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then look at this, verse number 8, very, very, very strong. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I like what one old Christian said. Make sure, he said, you can trust people. And people will fail you and people will let you down. But a fleshly Christian will cut you. They'll cut you. Salvation doesn't mean that you don't have any condemnation, verse 1. A flesh-driven Christian, and I've met them. They're saved. I don't think you can look at somebody and say, well, if you're saved, you'll live this way. No. If you're saved, you have a choice now. You can either do what you want to do and live in the flesh, or you can yield to the Holy Spirit. You have a choice now. Well, if they're saved, they'll live this way. Careful, you can't say that. I would not talk that way. I've known some very fleshly, nasty Christians in my lifetime. And I've watched Christians do things in the flesh that literally, look, our capabilities for good being filled with the Spirit of God are just as much this wonderful way as it is the horrible way, what we're capable of if we get in the flesh. There's a reason God says, thou shalt not lie. You know why God told us that? Because we're capable of lying. There's a reason God says, thou shalt not steal. Because we're all capable of taking something that doesn't belong to us. You can go through the whole Ten Commandments that way. Here, this is a very strong passage. I love it. It helps me. It feeds me as a Christian. Now I want to remind you of Ephesians 5:18. God says, be not drunk with wine. We're going to go back to Ephesians. Go ahead and go there. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So God guides us with the Holy Spirit. God says, I command you to be, now that you're saved, now that you've received my free gift of salvation, God says, now that you're saved, I command you to be influenced by the Holy Spirit and to be guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad getting saved's free? Amen? But being a good Christian is going to cost you. There's a sacrifice that I have to make to be a good Christian. He gave it all to me. He sacrificed to save my eternal soul. Now, anything I do after that is based on what I do with what He did for me. Amen? With what the Lord did. Think of this verse just for a second. Psalm 32, verse 8 says this, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God says when you're saved, God says, I'll guide your life with the Holy Spirit if you'll let me influence you. And then Psalm 32:9 says this, Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. That's Psalm 32, 8 and 9. God says, I can guide you if you'll let me. But there are some Christians, God says, don't be like a mule or a horse. Yeah, horses are some, you say, I like horses. I think they're gorgeous. We've got some right here. Praise the Lord, Titus loves horses. But they're some of the stupidest animals. They're so stupid, you teach them with pain. And any horse trainer will tell you that. And if you go more than 3 weeks, when I worked at a quarter horse ranch, if you go more than 3 weeks without training them, they forget what you've trained them. How do you steer a horse? You put the bit in their mouth. This is what God says. Don't you be like a horse or a mule. You put the bit in the mouth. What's the bit do? It pinches. So when you pull the reins this way, it causes pain over here, and so they turn their head to get away from the pain. And then how do you get it to go? You do what? You spur the horse, right? You poke its side, and I need to move because that hurts being there, so I'll move over here. It's not thinking he wants me to run. It's not thinking, they want me to go. They're not thinking that at all. The only thing that guides a horse is pain, right? Amen. So God says, I can guide you with my eye if you'll let me. But there are some Christians, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not influenced by the Holy Spirit. They are not guided by the Holy Spirit. So guess what God uses to direct them? Pain. And God says, don't make me do that. Don't make me... I mean, we're literally a whole Christian's life. They never see God working in their life. They're just always, oh man, this is messed up, and man, I was starting to do this, and man, then this blew up, and then I... God says, I'll guide you with my eye, if you'll let me. But when it is literally, look, tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, one of two things has happened. Either God's trying to get your attention, or God's using you as an example to somebody else on how to suffer. Right? Every time something bad happens, God isn't spanking us, so don't take that too wrong. You understand? Don't take it that way. I am trying to get you to think tonight, and God tells us, just because you're saved does not mean that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some Christians won't be directed by the Holy Spirit. God says here in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And I've watched Christians justify liquor. Well, liquor's fine, alcohol's fine, as long as it's not in excess. Do you know how many commands? There's over 600 commands in the Bible where God says, stay away from alcohol. It's never supposed to enter your body. I'm amazed at the social drinking that is justified. I met pastors. Well, little wine. God says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. So God's going to use a picture here, and I'm going to pull the sermon from tonight. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God says, don't be drunk, but filled. God's word can, this verse is talking about a life that is under the continual control of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Ghost and drunkenness have some similarities. So God says, don't be like a drunk person, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. God says, look at the two. Think of how a drunk person acts. And you can tell a lot about a Spirit-filled Christian when you compare the two. Okay? Watch this. Here we go. Did you know both a drunk person and a Spirit-filled person are at that time being controlled or influenced? They're being controlled or influenced. I've heard some people say, when the bad things happen, they didn't do it, the liquor did it. The liquor did it. Well, a Spirit-filled Christian is where they say, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want God to act through me and to help through me and to strengthen through me. I want God to use me just like... Here we go. Next thought. Did you know that for a drunk person and for a Spirit-filled Christian, a continual thirst is necessary for both? A continual thirst. What do you call the alcoholic? You ever seen him with DTs? We've had people come here to the church asking for help, and It's very obvious they were an alcoholic. Say, well, you know, somebody got upset with me and said, well, if you were a caring pastor, you'd help that person. You can't help an alcoholic. And the way that person was shaking, you can't take and put an alcoholic and have him go cold turkey. You'll kill him. They need to go to the detox. They need professional help. It's not, well, come over to my house. We'll just chain you in a room there and let you go bonkers for 3 days and then you'll be all right. You can't do that with an alcoholic. You can't do that. They need professional help. You need to go to the hospital and check yourself in. And that's what I told the person. They're sitting there doing that, and my heart goes out to them. I said, I'll come in, I'll come, we'll help you, but you need to go check yourself in. Did you know a continual thirst is necessary for both? I just looked at the drunk person. Now let's think about a spirit-filled Christian. Did you know Isaiah 44:3 says this? God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. God says, I'll pour water on you if you're thirsty, and it's talking about how bad do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God says, if you want it, I'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't want it, why would God give it to you? You have to be thirsty. When was the last time you craved as a Christian? Do you ever get sick of you? Do you ever get sick of your failures to where you're like, God, and you come to God in a broken state and you know He's the only answer, and it's like, God, if I don't have Your help, I can't do this. I can't be the husband I'm supposed to be. I can't be the father I'm supposed to be. I can't be the employee. God, I need Your help. And you come to God in a broken state and you're thirsty. I've got to have it. God says, if you want me, I'll fill you. But I won't fill you if you're casual about me. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and I'll fill you with my spirit. It's like when David prayed in Psalm 42, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Psalm 143 verse 6 says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. I'll just ask you the question again. We've looked at the drunk tonight. For a Christian, do you ever thirst after God? Where, God, I don't need anything but Your touch. I just need You. I need Your presence. I need Your power. God, I need Your filling. God, fill me. And there's nothing casual about it. You're thirsty for God. When I look at a drunk and I look at a spirit-filled Christian and I take the similarities, when under the control of both, a person is usually, have you ever noticed this, more bold. They're more friendly. They're more giving. They're more talkative. They're ready to challenge the world when they're drunk, right? You ever seen that? If you haven't, I'm glad you haven't. Do you understand? Well, I need to go to a bar and see some of this. No, you don't either. I'm not trying to get you to do that. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps watching Marines that were drunk. They were acting like idiots. What are you doing on the table? You're acting like a fool. You must be drunk. You're doing things you wouldn't normally do. You must be under the influence of something other than you. Did you know I could say the same thing about a Christian? A spirit, that's a drunk, right? A Christian that's filled with the Holy Spirit is more bold. They're more talkative. They're more giving. They're more friendly when they're under the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like a drunk, a spirit-filled Christian does the same. Next, both alcohol affects the drunk and the Holy Spirit affects the spirit-filled Christian in how you walk. I don't think I need to illustrate it, but Wow, he's walking weird. He must be drunk. Right? He's losing his balance. Well, did you know when you're in Ephesians chapter 5 right there? Did you know your walk is different if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Can I show you this? Watch this. Look at Ephesians 4:1. You're there in chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Our vocation is God's children. Your avocation is what you do to earn money. Your vocation is you're a Christian. And we are all supposed to walk worthy of that call. I'm a child of the King. God's my Father. I'm never going to die and go to hell. My sins are all gone. I'm supposed to walk worthy. And God says, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it affects your walk. It affects where you go. And there'll be places that you shouldn't go. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Watch this. I'm telling you, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God affects how you walk. Ephesians 5, 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. First thing I'd like to say is this. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God says, here, you follow, you don't lead when you walk. Most Christians do this. God, I'm going to do this with my life. Now you bless me. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to do this. Now you bless me. That's leading God. And God says, when you follow as a Christian, as followers of God, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? You're looking for His leadership. You're looking for His guidance and His control. You're not telling God how you're going to live your life. God, I'm going to do this. And if it doesn't turn out right, I'm blaming you. Do you know how many Christians live that way? I call that humanistic Christianity. This is what I'm doing. It better turn out right. Or I'm getting bitter and I'll get angry. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you follow God. I love this statement. One lieutenant that was taken down in a helicopter crash off of the aircraft carrier that we were following and things. His mom wrote me, and she sent me one of his notes. She said, my son loved the Lord. And this one statement I wrote in the back of my Bible. And she said, my son wrote me and said, I want to be where God is. Now, God's everywhere, right? God's omnipresent. But his heart was this, God, I don't want to just live. I want to be where you want me to be. And his heart cry was, I want to be where God is blessing. And a Christian that's Spirit-filled says, God, you call the shots, you lead. I want to do things your way. That's a Spirit-filled Christian. It'll change your walk. Can we just look at the last verse here for walk? And there's more, but look at Ephesians 5:15. You're in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I'm telling you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you walk different. Just like a drunk is out of control. You know what the word circumspectly means? Look it up sometime. It means cautiously. See that you walk circumspectly or cautiously or carefully or very watchful. You're watching. You're not stumbling through life. You're paying attention to what's going on. Don't walk as a fool. Oh, I never saw that coming. Were you filled with the Holy Spirit? Were you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll change the way you walk. Let me give you another observation. I'm using Ephesians 5:18 tonight to use a drunk and a Spirit-filled person. When under the influence of alcohol or when filled with the Holy Spirit, I hope you don't miss this, a person under influence of both will hear and experience things that no one else does. When you read your Bible, I'm not going to go into the hallucination of a drunk person and what they saw coming out of the wall or walking down the street or, oh, he's drunk. Let's talk about, first of all, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll see, you'll hear, and you'll experience things that other people don't who aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one of them. When you read your Bible, does God speak to your heart? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll see things in the Word of God. And I'm not talking about weird things. I'm talking God will speak to your heart. You'll see things, you'll hear things, and God will move in your life like He does not move in other people's life because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, you're seeing some... I mean, my wife is always telling me what she got out of her Bible. And she always starts it this way. Honey, I know you've read it before. But honey, this verse, and sometimes she'll text me a verse. She'll like, did you see this? Isn't this wonderful? And then she always makes a statement, you ought to preach a sermon on this verse. I get some of my best sermons from my wife. No, I'm just... But I'm just telling you, there ought to be, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, and you read your Bible, and God can show you things in life. I shouldn't have done that. Why didn't you do that? How come you didn't buy that car? How come you didn't take that job? How come you didn't do... I just felt like God wasn't leading me to do so. When I read my Bible, I see and hear and experience things that other Christians don't. That's why if reading the Bible is boring to you, can I just ask you a question? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? How is this book so boring when you have the author living inside of you? Do you let Him speak to you, or do you just, okay, wherever it is today, Lord, please. Chapter a day. Oh, good grief. What's that? That's long. I'm going to go, where's Psalm 147? Where are you at? Come on when I need you. You'd be shocked. You'd 5 minutes and they're going to be here. And it's that there's no enjoyment. It's all duty. And so no wonder God didn't speak to your heart. No wonder God didn't feed your soul because you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit while you were reading the Bible. Just a few more. The initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is boldness. It's not a spookiness. It's not being weird. Can now take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 4, and we're coming down to the end. Acts chapter 4. I just wanted to take being drunk. God uses it. This is God's illustration. Don't be drunk with wine, where is excess, but just like a drunk is under the influence and controlled by alcohol, be filled or guided or influenced by the Holy Spirit. I command you to do this. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. Ready? Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Do you know what one of the major traits of a Spirit-filled Christian? It isn't speaking in tongues. God's done with that. It's when you have the boldness to, hey, I'm from Gospel Light Baptist Church. Can I give you an invitation? That's a sign of a Spirit-filled Christian. When you don't care what other people think. It does not say when they saw the rudeness of Peter and John. It doesn't say that. I don't think when you're bold, you're rude. You know what the word boldness means? Look up the definition. It means freedom of speech. If you're bold, you don't hold anything back. You feel free to do what? Be a witness for the Lord. To pass out tracts. To talk about God. I don't care what you think about me. I care more what God thinks about me. That's the sign of a Spirit-filled Christian. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, those men don't look like they have a college degree. Oh, those are just dumb fishermen. Wow. You know what the main reason they could do that? Because they had been with Jesus. And a Spirit-filled Christian, the main sign, let's go the opposite way. Anytime you find yourself ashamed of being a Christian, you know you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Can I take the opposite? If you're bold about the Lord and you feel free, you know God is working in your life. But any time you're, I don't know if I really want to. If you're Spirit-filled, there's a freedom of speech. There's a freedom of speech that is there, a boldness, because you've been with the Lord. God says here, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's wrong for a Christian. Let me take that verse just for a second. I know I'm back in Ephesians now, but listen closely. It's just as wrong for a Christian to be in church and not filled with the Holy Spirit as it is a sin for me to be drunk. Well, I mean, you know, if you came to church tonight and smelled liquor on my breath, I would hope you wouldn't let me preach, you know. You'd probably, and unjustifiably, you'd need to fire me on the spot. Here, breathe into this. Okay, you're out of here. I would think that's normal operating procedure. Then let me ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? I don't know. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 11. Ready? Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. While you turn there, you see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not passive or accidental. It doesn't just happen. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is something that's done on purpose. And in this day and age, we're too satisfied with being a nominal, normal, average Christian. We don't ever ask the question, was the Lord pleased? Was God pleased? Man, we had 77 people today in church. I'm tickled about that, but the numbers don't mean to me as much as this. When I'm done with church, I'm asking this question. Was God pleased this morning? Was God pleased with what was taught in Sunday school? Was the Word of God given? Was God free to move? Is God pleased? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it displaces whatever was previously in you. Luke chapter 11 says this. Look at verse number 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Verse number 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? Look at verse number 13. I think it ought to be marked in your Bible and you ought to think about it. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, look at the last part of it, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. I had that little phrase underlined in my Bible. So when I ask you, it's a sincere question. I'm interested in you being spiritual. So I'll ask you, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you sit there tonight and you go, I don't know, then let me give you a way of analyzing it. We've talked about boldness. We've talked about control. When was the last time you asked God to fill you? Let me just clue you in. If you haven't asked, you're not filled. It's that simple. You say, I don't know when the last time I asked for the power of the Holy Spirit. I do before every service. Dear God, I don't want to preach by myself. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it by myself. I got to have God's help. I need God. I'm so glad I don't have to do it by myself. Christian, tomorrow, you don't have to go to work by yourself. Let me ask you again, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you asked God, please fill me? Fill me and take control of me. God, don't let things come out of my mouth that hurt somebody. Lord, don't let me go places. Lord, these feet belong to you. These hands belong to you. Lord, fill me and use me. Because if you haven't asked, then that's a good sign you're not. You understand? And I'd like a sermon like tonight to move you into that realm. Tomorrow when you go to work, could you pray? Lord, I know the way to work. Have you ever prayed this? Lord, what way do you want me to drive to work?
Well, I drive it every day. I know the way.
What if God wants to use you to be a help to somebody? Let me just ask you, Christian, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, please, I pray that you could use the truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your salvation. But Lord, I know that if someone is saved,